What's up, guys? Welcome back to Mission Accomplished. I'm Michelle Carre.
I'm Garrett Kennel, and this week on Mission Accomplished, we are going to be talking about challenge accepted ideas that we are too afraid to make. Now, that covers a lot of different things, but generally speaking, they are ideas that there's components of them that are incredibly scary or dangerous, and we have just been hesitant.
But if pulled off, could be very amazing and inspiring.
Could be very amazing and inspiring. So I'm very excited to talk about some of these. A lot of these ideas we haven't talked about in months, and we're excited to reopen the doors on some of these ideas.
I want to start first. I have my little list here. I want to start first with something that is really relevant right now that both of us have spent a ton of time this week trying to figure out. And this is the concept of I train like a paramedic.
Now, we talked about this on the podcast before. This is an idea that we had to cancel slash postpone because of the global pandemic that is occurring.
And as a reminder, this episode is similar to FBI, police, firefighting, in that it's sort of an experience where we go and experience what people do to prepare for this profession.
So what Michelle means by that is we have different categories of challenge accepted videos. So we usually tend to put them in one of three different categories. First category is academy, which is your police academy, Marine boot camp, your FBI academy. Paramedic would fit into that category. You go for only a 3 to 4 day period instead of a 6 to 8 week training period. So that's our academy style. Then we have our long form training, which is training over weeks or maybe even months. So that is your figure skating, your ballet, anything where Michelle is training for like a 6 to 12 week period, trying to get better for a final challenge at the end. And then the third category is like our long form documentary. This is more of like a documentary piece on a specific social topic or whatever the thing is exploring. So an example of a video that fits in that category would be our beauty pageant series.
The runway
would fit in that. These are things that are documentaries filmed over a long period of time that is about a specific social topic or issue. So paramedic was going to be one of our academy style challenge accepted. And not being able to shoot this was very tough for us because our academy challenge accepted videos do very well. They are right now the top performing videos on the channel are I tried Marine boot camp, I tried Police Academy.
FBI.
FBI is making its way to the top. And then sitting right under that is Victoria's Secret, and Runway is up there. So, but we were really afraid to lose our Academy. So this is a video we really, really want to try to make.
And it's very relevant right now, given everything going on in the world. So just to give you guys a bit of background on what's been going on with this episode, which is so highly requested. Basically, we had planned to go film this episode over St. Patrick's Day weekend in March.
Days before we were supposed to fly to Colorado to shoot this video, the entire shoot got canceled because COVID. People in their department were exposed to COVID-19.
And nobody really knew at that time what that meant. People weren't necessarily testing positive, but they had dealt with some patients in the ambulance that had potentially coronavirus. So out of safety, and this feels, doesn't it just feel like forever ago that there was a time when, I don't know, that point in our lives when coronavirus was expected to be, oh, just a 2 week lockdown, just feels like forever ago. That's crazy. I just wanted to say that. But so yeah, we canceled it. And as we've sort of been sitting here in quarantine, we have just been watching the stay-at-home order get extended and extended and extended and extended, and sort of realizing on our end, we're going to need to adapt to this new way of life. And we actually have been connecting with this paramedic team throughout all of this just to see where they're at, because obviously we want to reschedule it. And this specific paramedic team, South Metro, has developed this very impressive protocol for their entire staff when dealing with COVID patients such that they have not had a single staff member test positive for COVID in over a month, which I think is really impressive when you think about a team of people that come in contact with a potential coronavirus.
These are people
patient
dealing
2 to 10 times a day.
Dealing with these COVID patients or possible.
And none COVID of them patients. Have tested positive in over a month. And the reason for that is they basically have this really impressive protocol such that all of the staff are wearing P100 masks. And if you guys know what an N95 mask is, a P100 mask is, it's...
If you've seen Breaking Bad...
Steroid version.
You know what we're talking
yes.
about.
And they wear the full head-to-toe suit
hazmat
as well.
Suit.
Hazmat suit. And whenever anyone exits the ambulance, they do a full disinfectant spray of the entire vehicle. And anyone who comes in contact with a potential COVID patient, immediately when they're back and in safety, they shower, they remove all the clothes.
So Michelle's telling you this because she really wants to make this video and she's trying to justify why it's safe to make. That's what's happening right now.
I
want to be clear. We want to make this video. We want to highlight the hard work that is going into these people who are running into the line of fire. These are paramedics who are running in and helping. Like they're running. It's almost like our firefighting video where you're running straight into a fire. These guys are running straight into COVID every day, risking their lives to do this. We want to highlight. We want to make a documentary, our episode challenge accepted, highlighting it. What is it like to be a paramedic in a pandemic setting? I think that's a very inspiring video. Michelle is very inspired to tell this story, and we would love to do this. The problem is it's so dangerous right now for us to do that. If Michelle comes away from this contracting COVID, that puts a obviously that's bad for personal health reasons, but also for career reasons. We have a lot of other things going on this summer, and we can't
hopefully
risk
they're
that.
Still going on.
Hopefully. So right now, Michelle's trying to make South Metro sound like they are invincible in terms of getting COVID, which seems true because she really wants to make this video.
I do. And I will admit it. I am, like many other people who have been in quarantine for a long time, dying to have some sense of normalcy. But of course, I want to be as safe as possible. And the irony of this specific video is that, yes, it's terrifying. But also, out of all of the ideas we could be doing right now, compared to our normal videos, this one feels like the safest in a way because of how protected we will be. We will be constantly supervised by medical professionals. They invited us to come, which I don't think they would have done if they didn't feel safe. They haven't had a positive test in over a month. But yes, it's scary because there's a potential whole second wave of this virus that could come because things are starting to open up again. It's a really tricky thing to say, especially because outside of our conversations with South Metro, I spoke to other doctors and medical professionals.
Michelle's dad is also a doctor.
Yeah, and a lot of them are very encouraging of doing the idea, which is, again, counterintuitive. But they all agree that you'll be in the hands of medical professionals. So why not, in a way? I'm inspired to do it because I think it's a really important story to tell, one that I haven't seen covered by the news. Like, of course, the news has been covering our local heroes and essential workers, which I think is awesome. But I think that the way we would do it, like any of other episodes, is going to be more in-depth, more hands-on, metaphorically speaking, than what the news is normally covering. I also think that people are forgetting that in many ways, normal emergencies that are non-COVID related are still happening. A kid who is quarantined at home runs around the house, falls, and breaks their arm. Someone has a heart attack. All of these things are still happening, but how does a paramedic deal with that, knowing that there could also be COVID involved with this? How does someone go to the hospital for an emergency that is non-COVID related and stay safe from COVID. And South Metro has done a really good job of balancing both of these things. Their academies for firefighters and paramedics haven't stopped this entire time. They all are fully suited the entire time they're training and wearing masks. And that's important because we have to continue training new essential workers because they are the people who are saving us right now.
Yeah, we think it would be a fantastic episode to make, just a very dangerous, scary episode for us to make. Another reason we're fearful of making this is because if this video was taking place in Los Angeles, it would make it a lot easier for us. But we have to travel to Colorado. Mm-hmm. And now we're discussing, do we fly? Do we drive? Are they both equally unsafe? Are they both safer than we think or less safe than we think? We really don't want to be traveling in a time like this. And yes, we would be putting ourselves at risk to make this video. But in a certain aspect, I would be willing to put my own personal self at risk to tell this story. I think the issue is I don't want to put anyone else at risk to tell this story. So I think that's like a moral dilemma that we are struggling with. If you guys think it would be a good idea to try this video, to get this message out, to tell this story, to highlight these heroes, let us know. If you think, fuck no, stay home, I also understand that, because every time we go outside of the home and broadcast that on our platform, we are encouraging, maybe indirectly encouraging, other people to step outside their home and do those things. And we don't necessarily want to do that.
Right. And we would be very careful in this episode to showcase the level of protection that we're putting on ourselves. For example, both of us would get tested before departure, get tested upon arrival.
Right, but just because we do that doesn't mean anyone else who sees us going outside is going to do the same.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's,
there's a lot of responsibility sort of like, that we have.
Should we, you know, it's really tough.
100%.
It's really tough, especially because I feel like everywhere in America, people are handling this differently. Some people have been on lockdown for several months, like we have. Some people never really went on lockdown because that's not what their community is doing.
What I'd like to try is in the comment section, everyone will list the name of all the episodes that we're thinking about doing, and then either a thumb up emoji if you think we should do it, or a thumb down emoji if we should not do it. So we're going to go into our next video, but right now in your comments, say paramedic, colon, and then give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I'm very curious. We really want to know audience reaction. The people watching and listening to this podcast, we know are our core audience, and we trust you guys. So let us know your feelings on all of these things. We'd love to hear from you because we are struggling with this decision.
So that's the paramedic episode.
I have a second one I want to bring up. Medieval combat.
Oh,
bringing it back in. God. I won't harp on this too long. Very excited. I have so many fans in the comments now telling me how much they love
so
medieval combat. All 12 of you, be as loud as ever. Thumbs up, thumbs down on medieval combat.
Here's why it's dangerous.
Oh, it's very dangerous. I don't know if we should actually do it. I've watched videos of the M1 Fighting League.
It's terrifying. A fighting league. Garrett actually can cut away to some footage here if you're watching on YouTube of what it looks like.
It's swords and shields and armor. It's so cool looking, but they look not great at it. It's very unsafe. It looks so unsafe.
Like everyone there has a concussion. A constant concussion.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Let's move on to the next one.
Medieval combat. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Or if you're feeling extra interesting, sunglasses cool emoji.
Perfect. The third idea that we've been kicking around is the idea of doing an Iron Man.
Oh, this is a big one. An Iron Man. For those of you like me who don't know about this sport, what's an Iron Man?
An Iron Man is basically the ultimate triathlon. So it's I don't remember all the distances, but it's a multiple mile swim, a over 100 mile bike ride. And then after all of that, a marathon. And you do all of this in one go, start to finish. It's usually a 12 to 15 hour race, I want to say, of pure agony.
So obviously that's intimidating, but why does it, why are you afraid of it? Why is this up on the list with hitting each other with swords and running into COVID?
This one I think is very dangerous because in my experience as a cardio-based athlete, being a cyclist, I know the level of fatigue I have had at the end of long bike races. And I also ran a marathon for a video. And by the end of that, my body in some ways felt broken for several weeks following that.
What were some of the things that happened to you physically after that marathon or during the marathon process?
Okay, this gets a little gross, but, and a lot of marathoners experience this, but several of my toenails fell off.
Disgusting.
Like, no toenail. I had a lot of issues.
I hate that.
I had a lot of issues with my hamstrings. They would start seizing up if I went on even just a short run. I had to kind of stop running altogether for a while. And when I'm explaining this, if you've never done a marathon before, it's not like, oh, I'm sore from a workout. I'm just really sore. It's not that. It's a different feeling. It's painful.
I think marathons are dangerous already, and then add on the biking and swimming component.
100-mile bike.
That's insane to me.
100 miles of biking. Yeah, I think it's just a lot of pressure on the body. And I'm scared of that. I mean, in Yes Theory's Ironman video, the title of that video was The 12-Hour Race That Almost Killed Me. And the thumbnail.
He's in an ambulance.
He's in a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we actually started trying to produce this video.
We did. We were actually working on this. We found a coach. We started getting equipment sponsors. I started getting very nervous, which is not unusual. And we ended up pausing it because all of the Ironman events for the foreseeable future are completely canceled.
Yeah, there's really no way to. This is one of those episodes we just cannot do because the sport doesn't really exist right now.
Yeah, and I remember we actually did a poll on my YouTube community page a while ago asking if people wanted to see me do this. And several of the comments were concerned for my health and safety, which is so kind. But also, several people said on the poll they didn't even know what an Ironman was. So at that point, I'm struggling a bit because
I had heard of an Ironman. I just didn't know exactly the distances or what components there were in them.
Sure. But if you compare how many people know what a marathon is versus how many people know what an Ironman is, most people can say, oh, a marathon's like a long distance run. And if you ask people what an Ironman is, they might not.
Oh, that's a really hard race, and I don't know what goes into it.
And so in my mind, I was sort of like, why would I put myself through literally three times the pain and agony of running a marathon if it's going to be a video that people may or may not even understand from the title?
Yeah, that's why Yes Theory didn't use the word Iron Man in their title. They had the same issue, it seems. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, obviously, if a video performs well is a reason why we want to do something. And so going through that, an Ironman would be one of the biggest physical challenges you have ever taken on, maybe the most. And it would be very unfortunate for you to go through all that and then it doesn't get the recognition it deserves because people just don't know what it is. So, maybe this podcast can educate enough people on what an Ironman is before you do an Ironman so that set ourselves up for success. Or maybe I'm just an idiot and most people do know what an Ironman is. So
All right, so at this point, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up, let us know.
Thumbs down.
Iron Man.
Should an Iron Man happen? Obviously, not during COVID. These are thumbs up and thumbs downs for like after COVID, except per paramedic. That one is like, do we do it during?
Yeah.
During the pandemic, again, help us figure that out.
All right.
Okay. What's number? What's idea number four?
Number four, Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs, highly requested. We really want to do it.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. Obviously not in the pandemic, but for when things reopen. Why is Navy SEALs so terrifying?
Navy SEALs is terrifying to me for a few reasons. The first one is that no woman has ever, to my knowledge, completed Navy SEAL training.
Someone fact check that. Pretty sure that's true.
Several have attempted, and one woman got pretty close, but then ended up dropping out. So that in and of itself is just scary.
I read a statistic that says there are more deaths in the Navy SEALs training than there are Navy SEALs combat in deaths in combat since 2013. So in all the years since 2013, more people die in training than actual on-duty combat, which is very, very interesting and also definitely contributes to why we're afraid to do this.
Tell us why people die during
training. Well, the big reason is drown-proofing, and that is the idea. You have a bunch of swimming-related tests and tasks that you have to perform tied up, thrown into a pool where you're bobbing up and down. I haven't gone through it, so I don't know all of the ins and outs of this. I'm sure somebody in the comment section knows exactly what it is. But there's you essentially get so close to drowning so many times, and a lot of people black out in the pool and then don't come back. So that's obviously very terrifying to tie Michelle up and throw her into a pool. I don't want to see – that's the one challenge I really don't want to see her do. But the other parts of the training – for Navy SEALs, I think could be incredibly inspiring for a lot of different people.
If we were able to do the video and do it successfully, maybe excluding the drown-proofing component, primarily because I don't think I'm qualified to do that. People who get to that stage of the training are so far along in their Navy skills and Navy physical training that I wouldn't be able to experience in a short amount of time. I think it would be unfair of me to even think that I could pass that without going through the entire boot camp before, and I would not want to diminish that, nor would I want to drown, I'm going to be honest. But that's a struggle I have sometimes with our videos, is we really want to tell the full and real and honest story because that's what people expect from us. They expect to the highest caliber. And if we skip out on something, will people think that we're... I don't know. Will people think that...
A wuss.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, SEALs is one of those. I think it would perform very well. I would love making it. It's a story we would love to tell. The angle of, you know, no woman ever completing it is incredibly inspiring.
And to be fair, I don't think I can pass it. I really don't think I could.
You mean the full version.
Right. The full version. I'm not, and I wouldn't be going out to say, no female has done it. Time for me. That's not what I want to do at all. What I want to do is just showcase and honor how difficult it is, even experiencing it for just a few days.
Right. Absolutely. So in the comments, thumbs up for Navy SEALs, thumbs down for Navy SEALs.
Okay.
Are we running out of ideas? How many do we have left?
We have three more.
Three more ideas. Let's go on to number five.
Number five. I became a politician.
This is one of my passion ideas, similar to Butler Academy and Medieval Combat. I really want to do a video. Okay, hear this. I train like a politician. Michelle puts her name on the ballot for a local election. I obviously will be her campaign manager with zero
and
prior
get
experience.
To wear a cute little
I'll
Dixie
wear a
hat.
Cool little Dixie hat. I'm going to make buttons and signs. I'm all about this. Why does this scare you?
Doing a video on politics scares me because politics are, first of all,
very
so polarizing.
Polarizing.
Oh my Christ. Because politics are so polarizing. That's the first reason. The second reason is that to be honest, I'm sort of in the middle on, I would want to put all of my effort into trying to get elected into whatever this position is, like city council or something. I don't even know. But then if I get elected, then I'm an elected official. And I don't know if I want to be an elected official.
There was a moment of beauty pageant where we were worried, what if you win Miss Malibu and all of a sudden you have these responsibilities that you weren't really expecting to have to take on?
Right. Like, I wanted to give it my all, but then I was also conflicted on, what if I actually win this thing?
So same thing with with the politics challenge. What if with her, you know, with the following that exists, what if you got that position and now you're a part of this system that you have a duty to serve for the people of our area. What's interesting about this is we really wanted to make this episode to inspire people to be more active in local elections. I think people get obviously really excited and hyped up about the big general elections, but politics starts at the bottom with local elections. Those are the people who rise the ranks over time. That's where people get their experience. A lot of local elections are incredibly important to everyone's livelihood, and I would love it if people were more educated. And I'm a victim of this too. I'm not as educated as I should be on local elections. I really want to know who the city council members are and who all of these names are, what they do, how they function. And I think a lot of people should. I think this documentary would be a beautiful window in for the average American, or I guess anyone watching overseas, to see what our election processes, not just for the generals, but for local, and to see what really goes into it and the kind of people who are behind these things. Also, what it takes to run a successful election. We all hear that money talks, and it's money that buys votes in elections, and we really wanted to test that. Could Michelle, someone with no prior political experience, with some money and some following, could that person go far? I mean, we've seen a TV host personality become president of the United States. How far could an internet influencer or YouTube creator get? I think is incredibly, incredibly interesting, just to make people aware of this world. But yes, it's very polarizing. At some point, you will have to choose a side, and you'll have to make policies that obviously do not align with everyone's belief system. And that's very difficult.
Yep. And it's going to be very expensive because Garrett's going to make so many signs.
I'm
going to
make so many signs.
Garrett's going to convince me to buy a billboard.
Many billboards. MK 2020, Carre 2020.
MK
2020. Ultra. So we'll use Ultra in the slogan. It'd be really cool. I'm gonna draft up your election logo like tonight. I'm very excited about this. I think the more election assets I make in Photoshop, the more you'll be like, oh, I see it now. I see the video.
The tough thing here
Think about the thumbnail. The thumbnail is like you and like hundreds of your fans like standing behind you wearing like MK buttons, and everyone has little flags and banners, and you're like in your little blazer, and you're like at a podium speaking. Yeah, oh, it's great. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was just saying that a lot of the things that are exciting about that video, like several of the other ideas we've mentioned here today, are only exciting when we are not in a pandemic, because I would want to do the public speaking, the town halls, the rallies.
Again, we're not doing this during the pandemic. This would be afterwards, if we can find a local election that makes sense.
If the world exists after.
It better, because I got some signs and buttons to make.
Back on track. Back to the highway.
Thumbs up for yes, politician.
Yes.
Thumbs down for nah, not interested. Politics
suck.
And
if you like the politician idea and have ideas on what office I could run for reasonably.
Yeah, we looked into a few. Didn't come up with too many good options at the time we were looking it up based on the election cycle. But whenever COVID ends, we'll see what the new cycle is. But if you have any initial preliminary ideas, let us know. We'd love to make that video happen. Well, I would.
We would. All right. So number
six.
Five.
This would be six.
Why is it six?
Five was politician. This would be idea number six.
Oh my God. Okay. Idea number six. Skateboarding.
Skateboarding, another one that I brought up that I really like. A video we think would not perform very well, but a video that I think would be really fun. And wait, whoa. What if we released it and did a brand deal with Tony Hawk Pro Skater? Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 are getting remastered. What if we made it, but we do it with Tony Hawk? Tony Hawk's been in a bunch of Jablinski videos. Jablinski is Jack Black's YouTube gaming channel. Him and Tony Hawk have been hanging out. We can get Tony Hawk, drive down to San Diego. That'd be cool. We need to do, I train like a professional skateboarder, and then do it in collaboration with Tony Hawk Pro Skater. How amazing would that be? The music would be ska and like punk for the entire soundtrack of the episode.
I love it. So what are the anxieties about doing this episode?
Oh, I tried skateboarding when I was in middle school, and I'm not going to do it ever again because I suck at it and I get hurt a lot because
I suck at it. It's a lot of falling.
It's kind of like figure skating, where the sport, it's like you got to fall a lot in order to get better and to get good. I'm not going to do it, and I'm afraid to see you do it. I don't want to see you get fucked up. Like, you could really hurt yourself doing that. You can hurt yourself doing a lot of these things, but what's your, like, are you like, yeah, I want to try that? It feels like a fun summer idea, yeah. You know, maybe shorter amount of time, so it's less commitment. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
My anxieties are that, yeah, it's objectively dangerous. That's the big one. And similar to Iron Man, I feel like it would be a ton of personal exertion and work without knowing, will this video do very well? Or will people be excited to see the video?
I'm just excited to listen to Superman by Goldfinger over and over and over again, because, man, that would just be such a fun video to make, especially if we get to involve Tony Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you want to see I Train Like a Professional Skateboarder? And by I mean Michelle. I will not be doing that.
What if we just call it I Train Like Tony Hawk?
Would that do better or worse?
I can't tell. Let me do a Google Trends search to see whether skateboarding or literally Tony Hawk.
Sometimes what we do to see if a video title will perform well is on Google Trends, we will see what topic is searched more. So right now we're testing Tony Hawk versus skateboarder or skateboarding. Which one of those words or phrases get more hits on Google per day?
Okay, so I'm on Google Trends, and I just typed in Tony Hawk's name so we can see the frequency that Tony Hawk is searched on the World Wide Web, and I'm going to compare it to skateboarding. So, oh my gosh, actually, Tony Hawk is far more than skateboarding.
So Tony Hawk gets searched more than the sport itself. Pretty cool.
Incredible.
Man, Tony Hawk is the world's most famous video game character.
Is that a fact?
No, it's something that he always jokes about.
I love that.
That he's not known as being a famous skateboarder, but being a famous video game character. So that he made that joke when the announcement came out that
Pro Skater was amazing.
Relaunch. So thumbs up for yay skateboarding.
Yay.
Thumbs down for not a fan of Tony.
Nay. And the final is I Train Like a Professional Boxer.
Oh.
Ending with a fight. So a lot of people have requested this video, and
you gotta box Logan Paul.
Oh my gosh. No. And here is why I don't want to do it. I did MMA already. When I was at BuzzFeed, I did a whole video where I trained for 60 days for an MMA fight and then did the fight at the end. And I loved training. I love the training involved for martial arts, for boxing, kickboxing, all of that. However, the fight itself was a very scary experience and one that I don't really want to repeat. It's also incredibly dangerous. Very, very dangerous for obvious reasons. I mean, you're getting hit in the face a ton. And if you've never been punched in the face, in a fight, in a boxing fight or anything like that, you don't know what it feels like. So that's why I'm scared. But yes, I agree. It would be a really great video.
I think it'd be a great video. I think it would do very well. It's highly requested, but I also don't want to see you fight someone. That's scary for me now. But I guess it depends on who you're. No, no matter who you're fighting, it's gonna be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to do it if enough people give it a thumbs up? Or are you still like, nah, dog, I'm out?
I mean, we'll see. Let's see how many people give it a thumbs up. But I would just have to get something new out of it that I didn't already get. I feel like I got so much from the BuzzFeed MMA video that I did. I don't know what new storyline or new thing I would get out of doing a boxing match.
Right. Our goal is always to be additive, not derivative. And right now, the story of I became a professional boxer does not seem additive to MMA. I'm sure those additive storylines exist. We just don't know them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
the Try Guys actually just did a boxing video.
They did. So I think we just have to figure out what that, you know, what those storylines are and how we can make it additive.
Okay. And in today's podcast, we're going to try a new little segment on my Instagram. If you don't follow me, give me a follow. Give Garrett a follow. At Michelle Carre, at Garrett Kennel.
This segment is called Try to Throw Off Michelle with Crazy Questions.
Oh, my goodness.
Just kidding, but try to throw us off because that would be fun too.
Okay. Well, as you guys know, we are all about helping you guys at home on your own goals and missions. And so I asked on my Instagram today if you guys have anything you want help with. So we're going to just take a sift through. And if you're interested in being featured on the podcast, be sure to be on the lookout for next week's Mission Accomplished question submission. Okay, here we go.
Hit me with them. I'm ready.
Okay, so Gwendola asks, how's the Training Like a Gamer video going?
It's going well. Michelle's getting better. As someone who's never played video games before,
I'm level 54 in Fortnite now, guys.
She's going to start streaming very soon on Twitch.
Yes.
We'll let you know when that happens, and you can watch her training.
Yeah, I want this video to be more involved with you guys than the other ones usually are, and for you to see my progress and give me feedback. So yeah, I'm gonna start up Twitch. Whether there are 500 people watching, I'll see you there.
Next question.
Yellow Asian Banana asks, I know I want to go into a creative career, but I have no idea where to start.
Well, you got to figure out what that creative career is first. I mean, I personally dabble in a lot of different creative outlets. I like video game design. I like Photoshop, graphic design. I like filmmaking, storytelling. Playing D&D, making music. At the end of the day, they're all related to telling different types of stories. So I would figure out what are the creative things that you like doing, what do they have in common, and then narrow that. So for me, out of all my outlets, music, video games, filmmaking, the common denominator is that they're all storytelling, even D&D. They're all storytelling. Therefore, I know that my ultimate creative field needs to be in telling stories. For me, filmmaking is the most effective way that I personally can tell a story because it's the combination of music, visuals, all those things that I like combined into one. That was how I found my answer. What would you say?
I would say one thing that was really helpful to me when I was just starting out dabbling in the entertainment world was I had a meeting with a really big movie producer that I just got really lucky to have. And one thing he said to me was start from the bottom and just become a production assistant on anything you can, a TV show or a film. So when I was a sophomore in college, I was a production assistant on a feature film. And I found that actually by going to the Louisiana Film Board. Each state has a website where they're required to, this might not be the case anymore, this was a while ago, but they're required to post all of the active movies and TV shows in that state or area. Like New Orleans posts all of theirs, Louisiana posts, I'm pretty sure Florida does. And so I just went down that list and contacted all of the assistant directors on all of those properties, and eventually found one who was willing to let me intern as a production assistant. And I learned so much. I think there's like a nice combination of bravery and humility required when you're starting out. The bravery is the bravery to do the exact thing that you want to do, whether it's directing or acting, and to make those opportunities happen for yourself at your school by making short films, whatever it is. And then there's the branch of humility where you need to be accepting, and in order to move up, you're going to have to work the lowest position possible. And that will also give you a view into all of the different arenas on set specifically that may interest you.
Now, creative might not mean in the film world.
It might not.
It could be painting.
That could apply to anything.
It could be
drawing.
It could be singing.
What I'm saying is that you need to work every day on the thing that you ultimately want to be doing and practicing that skill. If you want to be a painter, painting every day.
Now, I know you might think, oh, I'm not going to become a professional painter and sell my artwork for money. I would argue, I think people's thoughts on creative professions are very limited right now. They're restricting, like they're not really thinking about all the possibilities. For example, there's a YouTube channel called Wormwood, which is a behind-the-scenes channel of a Dungeons & Dragons company that makes wood, like dice boxes and thing, basically hardwood, really beautifully crafted wood objects for D&D players. Now, what's interesting about that is they have dozens of artists who do the artistry of carving into the wood and painting different designs on them. That's a creative field and something you would have never, like that's a job you wouldn't expect to exist. It's almost like a lot of the Etsy shop things are actual jobs at different companies.
Time lapses of painting do so well
great
on
now
YouTube.
You could be
right
a YouTuber.
Now. I don't know why, but I've been watching time lapses of painting and they get like 20 million views.
So I think it's just the idea of every creative role has a position somewhere. In more places than you think, rather than just selling art or selling music. You know, you could be writing music for video games. You could be writing music for commercials, YouTube jingles, there's so many different applications for films, so many different applications for every creative position that you would be surprised how many different industries you could find yourself fitting in. So just be open-minded about those things, and you'll find over time where those jobs lie.
DFunes123 asks, why are tricks just for kids? Does anyone know why?
Wait, do you think the rabbit is supposed to be like a magician's rabbit and a magician's trick?
Yeah.
I just put that together for the first time.
Thank you guys so much in advance for your opinions. We love hanging out with you on this podcast. It's been so much fun.
And as always, another shout out to our boy, Kevin Svensson.
Mm-hmm. And if you made it to the end of this episode, congratulations, mission accomplished. We'll see you next time.
See ya.